Welcome to the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film segment for November 20th, 2013. And I'm JD Duran.
And I'm Scott Pollard.
And on this week's Extra Film segment, we are going to be going over the Robert Redford film, All Is Lost, Lost at Sea. Should be a lot of fun. But before we get into it, Scott, how's your week going so far?
Week's going pretty good so far. You know, it's a hump day, so it's always getting closer to the weekend. So that's good. How about you, man?
You know what day it is. Do you see they have a commercial, that hump day commercial? They have that at the movie theaters now. Have you seen that yet?
No.
There's that. No, they have a one with the camel going around the movie theater doing the same prep.
Wow. Yeah. I've not seen that.
Yeah. My week is going really good. I will say, you know, so this last weekend on our podcast, we did our top three heartbreaking scenes. And if you go listen to that show, it was a fun top three and it was very hard for a lot of reasons. But I had to import the clips for that show. And if you go and look at my number one, I couldn't find a clip of it on YouTube or nothing like that. Like, I had to, like, scour around, and I was like, it was like a nightmare for me. And then I eventually found a version of it where I could import it into the show. And watching it was, like, the worst thing in the world. I was like, why am I torturing myself doing this? It was pretty awful. Yeah. But sorry, go ahead.
Needless to say, you should not listen to that podcast.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna skip through that segment. So, but I thought the show turned out great. It was a lot of fun, but it was definitely a little bit of a challenge for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very good, and I'm looking forward to Catching Fire here coming up pretty soon. So.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm really looking forward to talking about All Is Lost. So let's get into it.
Here we go.
Hypnotized spiders with ancient eyes, black dogs who come in herds, old man the word, old man the word, raised on golden days, God love the USA, fed on the purple haze, young men today. He heard them say, amen.
You're listening to the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film segment.
Amen. JD, not talking is not going to work here.
All Is Lost is written and directed by J.C. Chandor and stars Robert Redford, and that literally that's it. So other than, I guess, we see sort of an arm of somebody else, but I won't get into that because that's spoiler territory. So
I think you have to have more than one limb in the film to get credit. So.
Yeah, I think so too. So that's a good point. All right. Well, what did you think about All Is Lost?
Oh, yeah, like you said, man, there's two names to this film, really, and that's a rare thing. You know, usually these films that we get have more than one person in them, even if it is just about one person.
Sure.
So going into this, I was not sure what I was going to think about it. And especially because Robert Redford is somebody who's older and past his prime, in my opinion. So I didn't know what I was going to think. I'd really never heard of Chandor, even though I love Margin Call, and I realized that after I'd seen the movie. So I loved it, though. I thought that Redford pulled it off. I thought that this is one of the year's better films as far as experience at the theater and, you know, a story being told without much dialogue or hardly any at all. And I thought this was just a strong effort by both the writer, director, and Redford, and it makes for an entertaining time, believe it or not, people.
What'd
you think, JD?
I really liked it as well, and it's really interesting because one of the first things you will notice is there is no dialogue, as you are kind of referencing to, or there's very little anyway. We do get a couple of lines here and there, but I think that just kind of builds to the realism of what they're doing, and I like what J.C. Chandor was doing, and I'm not very familiar with him at all, actually, so this was kind of my first experience with him, and I think he does a really good job. He actually... I think he directs Redford in a really great way, and we get a really amazing and what I think is realistic performance out of Robert Redford. But I also think it depends on the person. I feel like this movie could have gone a completely different direction and also been realistic at the same time. For example, if any of you had ever listened to Nate when he was on the show, if Nate was in this situation, you get a Robert Redford. If you put me into this situation, you get a Samuel L. Jackson. Like, I would be cussing and swearing and going crazy the whole time. So it would be nothing but me bitching the whole time, where we get a very, very different character here in Robert Redford, which is fine because there's plenty of people that are like that. And I think it speaks also when you look at the fact that he's on the ship alone. So he's probably one of those people that, you know, is looking to get away, just spend some time by himself, get out on the sea. Like, he probably just enjoys that. That's why he's out here by himself. Very different than Life of Pi last year, where there was something a lot more tragic and other people were involved. So when you look at the context of where we're coming from, it makes sense that he doesn't say anything and that he's just kind of out here trying to figure things out. And for me, that direction worked for what Redford was doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things you're talking about there as far as, you know, him being by himself, a lot of people complain about this movie that it doesn't have a backstory or whatnot. But I would say that it does kind of have a backstory as far as the character goes. Even though he doesn't have a name, you can see pretty clearly in the beginning of the movie that he's an expert, you know, at sailing.
Yeah.
You know? So we know a little about him, even if we don't know anything else. And there is some voiceover at the beginning, too, which gives us a little clue on his life. So I like the character. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about the character in general?
I really liked it. I think it's a testament to those type of personalities and those kind of traits that those people have. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, Nate, who is my best friend, and he's been on the show before, so I kind of relate it to him because I see a lot of the same kind of qualities. And so to me, I kind of see that same backstory as well, and kind of what I was referencing to earlier. Like, he's someone that's very good at this. Like you mentioned, we see him going into the sailing stuff and he's doing all kinds of things. It's very obvious he's aware of the situation. He knows how to fix it and he knows how to handle this. And at the same time, he's also kind of just quiet and reserved and kind of doing his thing nonchalantly. And so to me, that is the backstory. Like, to me, that is absolutely everything that you need to know about the character, and that he likes being by himself. And maybe that puts him into a little bit of a rough situation here, but that's the risk you take. And for me, that was all I needed to know. Like, through his actions, I got the backstory, and the character was working, and I thought it was fantastic. And you can see what he's saying anyway in his facial expressions and his action and his choices. And those actions and all that spoke loud enough anyway.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you said. And you know, while you were talking about that, it made me think, you know, when I was sitting there watching this guy who's in his late 70s, he was moving around pretty great, you know?
Yeah,
like his physicality and his level of movement. I mean, it's greater than any 16-year-old that I've seen. Yeah. So,
for, yeah, I mean, for an old guy, he's in shape. Man. Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
That was quite interesting. Now, what did you think about the transition between certain set pieces? I guess, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but there's things that happen and things change. And I wondered how you thought about that. Like,
To me, that is the brilliance of what Chandor does, because he takes a situation where, I guess we can speak a little freely with this. I think people kind of know what they're getting to when it's called All Is Lost, and it's kind of a Lost at Sea movie. So I guess on some level, people have a little bit of an understanding of what's going on. And so obviously he's having some problems with his boat. And how Chandor transitions from one thing to another, as you were just referencing, is crazy to me, because it is very thrilling, and he uses the score really well there, which really adds to the movie. And to me, I'm thinking every time I saw Redford like go back and he's trying to figure out what his next steps are and, you know, what to take and how to transition. I kept thinking, like, why are you still there doing these things? Why don't you just keep moving? Like, why are you doing this? And of course, and you know what's happening. And on some level, like, if he doesn't move quicker, then something bad is really going to happen really fast. But he's still kind of doing his thing, and he's moving slow, and it's like he's using that, you know, kind of nonchalant attitude with the brilliance that he has of this of the setting that he's in. He knows that, and so, but to me, it's still thrilling. And you're like, what are you doing? Move! And so I thought it was amazing that even though there's no dialogue there, you still feel all of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that the main thing with those transitions is that I thought when I was watching it, you know, this is what makes it so accessible, because it keeps the movie from being boring, you know, like we never get tired of this one, one thing going on, and we get to transition between different things. So all that's really interesting, you know, since there is no, to talk to, or there's no soccer ball or whatever, volleyball, to talk to, you know, this kind of is a way for him to get to know some new things, you know.
Sure.
So I really appreciated those scenes, and I thought they were really great.
Yeah, and even before the actual transition happens, you know, there's a moment where, you know, this huge storm is coming and it's piling on top of him, and even throughout that there's like some great, I guess you can even say, like, action pieces. Like, he's having to really fight for his life, and he's fighting to save his boat. And even though, again, there's no dialogue and all that, you just kind of see the perseverance of this guy. And I think that speaks to a lot of what the movie is trying to say, and what it's trying to do is, you know, you just keep fighting through, even though this huge storm literally is trying to kill you and drag you down, that, you know, you to just keep fighting through all of that. And even though there was consequences and destruction of it, it still wasn't the end. And it was so easy to just give up in some of that. And I think it would be for a lot of people. So I feel like it speaks a lot to the character and to what the film is trying to say in those moments.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And like you said, it's a lot of the film, or you could definitely read the film as saying, you know, fight through whatever to get to something, you know, maybe something better will happen. And I feel like Redford's character really understood that and had been through a lot of bad things before, maybe. So he just, you know, kept dealing. And it really reminded me of, you know, the Shawshank Redemption. And towards the end, you know, you get a scene about a river of shit, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, what happens to Redford in this film is as bad or worse than what happened in that film.
Oh,
so,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, He went through hell here, and it was a really cool, inspirational, uplifting moment, you know, to see him fight through this one by one. You know, he would just keep coming back. He just kept fighting. And
yeah.
It was really, really cool.
I guess, like, one knock of the film that I've kept reading about that I kind of have a slight disagreement with, but it makes sense, and it's that the film uses a lot of the same cliche tactics that a Lost at Sea movie would have, with, you know, kind of boats passing by and close calls and things like that, and dealing with sharks and all that sort of stuff. And people, I've read some reviews where people have been like, you know, I mean, come on, think of something new or do something different. But what are you supposed to do?
Situation? Plus,
your options are limited.
Yeah, and this is one of the key things, I think, that was made this film more accessible, because it is semi-familiar to a viewer. Like, Everyone's seen, like, a cartoon or a TV show where somebody's stuck at sea. And, you know, boats will pass and ships will pass. And I tell you one cool thing. There's a couple cool things about that. One boat passes and it says Maersk on the back. And I was like, Captain Phillips.
There's a ghost Captain Phillips.
We just had that.
They left that part out of the movie where he passed Robert Redford's character.
Yeah, exactly. What happened there?
I want to know more about that.
The other part was what, as you were saying, the score was used really well. And, you know, the shark moment is crucial, because I felt like that was the most accessible moment when they had that deep piano, you know, chord play, you know, and the shark was there. I mean, you just knew.
Yeah.
You know, this is familiar. So I like that.
And
know?
I like the use of the camera there, too, because it was right underneath the water. You can see them swimming, and you could see, you know, the vessel that he's in, and just kind of you see that on the surface just floating with all this stuff happening around him. And it was a great it was a great use of the camera, not only with the score there, but it kind of also – enhances that kind of hopelessness feel of like, all you see is water and sharks, and you're like, how is he going to get out of this?
I mean, there's so many, you know, like he just keeps panning away from the you know, raft or whatever, and there's more sharks and more fish. It's just like, oh my gosh, you're never going to get out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know, and it's kind of, you know, when you're touching about like the boats passing by and things like that, and I remember when I was sitting in my actual review, and when I was sitting in the actual theater watching it, and the second ship shows up or whatever, a guy literally stood up, and he was in the front row of me. He stood up and went, "Oh, hell no!" And he walked out of the theater. I'm not even kidding. It was really interesting. I was like, okay, man.
You got very frustrated.
I guess so. It's like, I guess Captain Phillips didn't help out. He got man left.
But it makes
the movie fun, and you're gonna have to expect some of that stuff in there. I mean, they're lost at sea. There's only so much you can do, but it's, you know, it all kind of comes together really well, and especially the ending of the film, I thought was really great. I love how it's ambiguous, and I love how, maybe this is where the movie gets the most artsy, because I don't know if the rest of the film really is, but I love the use of that, because I think it kind of implies a little bit of what's going to happen, but it kind of leaves it up to the viewer to kind of decide. And I don't know. I don't know about you. Maybe you didn't like it, but I actually liked the use of that at the end.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it was exactly what I want in something like this, because I don't want to go out and see other things not related to the story as much. You know, I like this story as it is, and I don't need more stuff on top of it just to provide some kind of, you know, closure or whatever. Yeah. So
it kind of brought me back a little bit to Life of Pi last year, which I really love too. And even that ending, although he makes it to land, spoiler alert, but it's also a little bit ambiguous as to the real story, and it kind of lets you decide and pick what you want to believe. And the same thing kind of happening here, and I love how that works for what the movie's trying to do. So,
yeah, I always admire a director for letting the audience decide, because you're giving them respect. You know, you're respecting their decision to do their own. I don't know. I just don't like being told what happens all the time. So,
sure.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I thought it worked perfect for what it was doing. Absolutely. All right. Well, any final thoughts, and what grade would you give All Is Lost?
You know, final thoughts, like you said, the music was really good.
Yeah,
and also
fantastic.
I wanted to say, you know, as far as this Chandor goes, I'm anxious to see what happens to him in the future, because, man, you could not get two more different films as far as technique and craft, because Margin Call is a very, you know, heavy dialogue, all-star cast, banker, financial crisis movie. You know, it's nothing like this. So to go from that to this, which is like hardly any dialogue. Yeah, I mean, he's got so much range here just making two films. So it should be interesting what happens to him. You know, great. I mean, I had to give this one A+. I do think one of the main things I take away from this is one of those films when people say, oh, 2013 was a year of weak movies or wasn't a great year for movies. You know, you should ask them, have you seen All Is Lost?
Sure.
Because that's a great, you know, these are the kinds of films that people miss because they're out watching some crappy, you know,
Riddick.
Whatever. I don't want to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel
the
yeah.
fact that more people will see Riddick this year than this is sad. You know?
It is but sad. Anyway. Yeah, I would agree. And
anyway,
you know, and,
I gotta get it.
Yeah, I would agree. And we've talked a lot of even when we were discussing the summer stuff. Like, you know, regardless, you know, a lot of people are saying the summer was a little bit of a downer. Maybe on a blockbuster wise, that's true. But the summer indies were fantastic. And
absolutely.
There's been a lot of great smaller films for 2013 that I would classify 2013 as being a fantastic year and being a great year. And I've enjoyed some of the bigger films as well. So, and I'm really looking forward to some of the ones coming out in December. So, yeah, I
Me
mean,
too. And
sorry,
you know, much like the rest of life, you know, the best things don't just come to you. You have to go find them, and that's just the same with film. And you know, we've found a lot of good ones this year, and hopefully other people will too. So
absolutely. So we've been pretty fortunate in that, and we're also pretty fortunate we got an awesome small art house theater here in Lexington.
Absolutely.
It's really great too. So, but yeah, I mean, this is a great film. I would highly recommend seeking it out. It's really fantastic, and I mean, I give it an A+ for all the reasons you said as well. I mean, it's really great. The music is fantastic. I do like the score, which I did listen to before the film, so it was really great to hear it inside of the film as well. It was really great. I love the use of it, and this was my first exposure to Chandor, so I'm really excited to see what he does going forward. I think it was fantastic, given the fact that it was just two people that made this film, and possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe even a Best Actor nomination out of Ripford. I mean, who knows?
Most definitely.
It's definitely right up there. I thought it was one of the more fantastic ones of the year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, Scott has a full review of this up on the website. And we also have a video review from John, which will be up on the website as well. You can go and check out all that stuff at incessionfilm.com.
If you agree or disagree with our takes, let us know by leaving a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/InSessionFilm or tweet us at InSessionFilm. You can leave us a comment on our Google Plus page or on Letterboxd. Our usernames are InSessionFilm on both of those. And you can also email us at InSessionFilm@gmail.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes to hear all of our main podcasts and these extra film reviews. And while you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. We would greatly appreciate that. And you can sign up for our weekly newsletter by clicking on the newsletter tab on Facebook or on our site at InSessionFilm.com/newsletter.
And the In Session Film podcast is supported by awesome listeners like you, our premium podcast, which you can find on our website, which has awesome bonus content that you can download for just 99 cents. You can also find all of that at InSessionFilm.bandcamp.com. And all of that goes directly into supporting the show, so we really appreciate that. And you can also get everything that we do on one little app for your phone. If you have a smartphone, you can get one. Just go to the Amazon Market on Android devices or the Podcast Box app for iOS devices and listen to everything that we have on there. And you can check out all of those details at incessionfilm.com/apps. And that'll do it for this week's Extra Film podcast. Be sure to go check out our main show from this last weekend, where we reviewed 12 Years a Slave, which was a lot of fun, and we got pretty lengthy in talking about that. It was pretty awesome. And we also talked about our top three heartbreaking scenes, as I kind of referenced earlier. We also talked about movie surprises and films that we really enjoyed that we didn't expect. So be sure and go and check all of that out. And like Scott said, go check it out on iTunes. We would greatly appreciate that. And we have a new movie poll on the website for this week. And then, of course, go see Catching Fire this weekend. But there's a good chance by the time you listen to this Extra Film podcast, I have already seen it, and so has Scott. So go see it, because we're going to review that this weekend with Fox and Chris from the Geek Scholars Movie News podcast, which I'm really looking forward to having those guys on the show. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too.
But before we get out of here, Scott, any final thoughts on anything?
You know, just final thoughts. I would say go see All Is Lost. Make sure you seek out these films. Go see 12 Years a Slave if you've got it. You know, support these films. They're doing pretty well, so people are going to see them. But, if you have a local theater, make sure to support it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's fantastic stuff. One thing, Scott, real quick before we get out of here, that's pretty interesting is, you know, coming up next month, we're going to have Arcturus. And Beast from the MGC TV podcast is going to be joining us. And they just put out a podcast where they blasted Gravity on all kinds of levels.
Those guys do not like Gravity.
They do not. But it was really fun. And it was an interesting podcast. And we've been kind of going back and forth on Twitter about it. So I can't wait to get these guys back on. So look forward to I'm going to have a little debate with these guys before we get going on that show. I look forward to it. But also go check out their podcast. It's very good stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting In Session Film. And we'll see you guys next time on the In Session Film Podcast Extra Film Segment.